Blog Talk Radio.
I'm sure this morning, sir. Your credit card is...
Your unemployment benefits ran out 2 weeks ago. 2 weeks ago.
Too much month left over at the end of the money. Bad credit holding you back. Want to become a real estate investor, but haven't won the lottery? Learn how to fix your credit. Get out of debt and build true financial independence with real estate in 2 hours a week. Tune in to Heather Wagenhals Unlock Your Wealth Radio. She'll show you how, without winning the lottery or working 10 jobs. And here's your host, Heather Wagenhals.
Are listening to Heather Wagenhals Unlock Your Wealth Radio. And for this somber Saturday, September 18th, we are broadcasting live from the Logma Hall in Payson, Arizona. And I have no way to turn off that music because the switchboard won't come up. So that's just super fabulous. Welcome to the broadcast, everyone. And I have no way of killing this song. Blog Talk Radio seems to be out. I can't get into the switchboard. There we go. Through the miracles of modern technology, somebody blessed me and got that to stop. Welcome to the broadcast, everyone. You are listening to Heather Wagenhals Unlock Your Wealth Radio, where each and every Saturday at 9 a.m. Pacific Standard Time, we broadcast the Unlock Your Wealth Radio program and talk about crisis management and financial wellness tools designed to help you manage your finances and attitudes for the single purpose of achieving financial independence. And this week, I can't believe it, here we are, review, revise, and recommit. We are 1 key away from being done. We have one more week. So for those of you that started with us this season, congratulations. Pat yourself on the back because you have come so far. Think about that. Think about how far you have come. You took and you started with relatively nothing. You had whatever you knew about money. Whether or not you were willing to admit you had issues with money, didn't know how to manage money. And it all started with acceptance and affirmation. And here we are, 12 weeks later. How's your financial outlook? Is it a lot brighter than what it was? What are your attitudes and opinions about money? Are you seeing money as a tool and a resource, not a goal? Are you more conservative with your spending than what you were before? Are you looking at money for the first time as a way to make more money, as opposed to something that just gets frivoled away or you don't have enough before the end of the month hits? It's pretty amazing the journey that we've come through so far, and this week's key is all about helping us stay the course. Because life happens to us, around us, about us, for us, and unfortunately, against us at times. And what do we do when that happens? Well, most of us give up, get frustrated, fall off the wagon, lose sight of our long-term goals because we get mired in the firefighting of little things that happen today. And so as a result of that, we fall off the wagon. It's just like dieting. You sacrifice that cake for so long And instead of having just a little nibble here and a little nibble there where you work it in to your healthy exercise and eating plan, and it won't make much of a difference, you forsake that cake for so long that finally you just blow it and eat the whole doggone cake because you've waited so long to have cake. And we learned last week to forget the perfection principle. This isn't about being perfect. It's not about executing everything to a T. It's about getting back in the saddle if you fall off the wagon. And sometimes you don't fall off on your own. Sometimes you get pushed out of the wagon or off the saddle. But you just got to get back up. And this week helps us take a look at where we are versus where we started. And we compare that with what our goals are because sometimes our goals may change. And if they change, we must change our plan in order to make sure that we get there. It's just like going on a trip. And if you're in Phoenix and you're heading to San Diego, and you forget to get off I-10 to go down to the Interstate 8, so you're heading toward L.A., that's okay. You got to pull out the map, see where you are, where you started, and where you're going. And if you missed one of the freeways, that's okay, because you can figure out a new way to get there if going to San Diego is still where you want to go. Things happen to us. So in the second hour, we're going to talk all about that. We have an incredible Investor's Edge guest. We have Bruce Fleet joining us today on the show. And he is the author of The Solomon Secret. And what's so spectacular is that he is going to, well, I don't even want to ruin it. But anyway, author of The Solomon Secret, Bruce Fleet will be joining us, as well as Minutes on Your Money. And I've got a good one. I got an I told you so good one for this week, and we have all kinds of other things coming up. I do want to mention that I am dedicating this broadcast to my dear friend, Courtney Ann Denton. I am headed to her Celebration of Life event today. This woman I admired. She was only ahead of me by 6 years, but she was such a dear friend and so wise and an incredible contributor to our community. She worked a full-time job and still found time to work on dozens and dozens of worthy social causes to help to help Arizona, all of Arizona nonprofit organizations. She has volunteered or worked on some sort of fundraiser or charitable event for so many people and for so many organizations. And she left us way too soon, but her legacy will live on. So I'm super excited about dedicating this broadcast to her because she was such a dear friend, and we had so much fun together, and I'm so saddened that the good times have to stop. But today's broadcast is dedicated to her and her life and her memory. Welcome back to the broadcast, everyone. It is a cluster this morning, but never fear. We are still here. Thank you so much for bearing with us. So did you guys get a chance and to the midweek update? It was really good. We had our Save It or Chuck It checklist where we talked about what do we do with different types of financial records. How do we handle those financial records? Do we keep them? How long should we keep them? Are they not necessary? What's absolutely vital that we have to have no matter what forever and ever until death do us part? So those are the things that we talked about on the midweek update. And if you missed that show, you need to go ahead and download it. It was super, super important. And for those of you who haven't started listening to our Millionaire Nuts and Bolts from Unlock Your Wealth Radio on Tuesday mornings, that is also something super exciting and spectacular to be listening to, because we go in-depth with our Millionaire Minute segment that we do on Saturdays. We go in-depth and come up with step-by-step strategies for you to repattern yourself to think and act like millionaires. It's so great. And it's short, sweet, heartbeat, 15 minutes to empower yourself to wealth. All you have to do is tune in to Unlock Your Wealth Radio Tuesday mornings at 6:30 a.m. and join us so you can start your day the millionaire way. Now, I chatted with you briefly, but I don't know if you guys heard me or not because we were having such technological issues, but our Investor's Edge guest today is Bruce Fleet, and he is author of The Solomon Secret, and I'm so excited to have him on. He is one of the leading financial advisors in the country. He's a former Wall Street brokerage top-producing broker for more than 20 years, and he has been recognized by the media and awarded numerous professional distinctions. He's a certified investment management analyst, CIMA, and he received the Investment Strategist Certificate from the Wharton School of Business at the University of Pennsylvania. Super prestigious, for those of you who are not familiar. And that was via the Investment Management Consultants Association. We are so privileged to have him on because he's just like us. He came from humble beginnings. He started his career as a car salesman. And it was only after a customer noted that he would make a good investment manager that he decided to pursue a career in finance. And he is, after all these years, going to join us today to talk about Solomon's Secrets. So, Bruce, welcome to the broadcast.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be with you.
I'm so excited to have you on today. Now, what made you write this book about Solomon?
Well, as you mentioned, I spent a fairly lengthy career with Wall Street firms. I had an opportunity to travel throughout our country and numerous countries around the world as I was teaching investors and advisors about proper money management. And after speaking with very wealthy individuals, we started to move into this recession that hopefully we're coming out of now. And I realized there was this whole segment of people, like you said, like us, who weren't the mega wealthy. Those happened to have been the people I was managing money for. And it was the rest of us that were experiencing the pain of this recession. And I started to think about general finance for all of us, the things that we, how do we interact with money on a daily basis. And I really wanted to use both my Wall Street expertise and just life experience, because, you know, all of us have gone through difficult times financially, to put together a book that would help all of us change our attitudes about money and help us out of this recession. Well, the end of the story is I knew that most people don't know who I am, but so I wanted to write the book with a credible name. And actually, I thought of Warren Buffett, and I thought of the gentleman who founded Vanguard Funds, who actually read my first book and wrote me a lovely letter about agreeing with my first book. And then I looked across my table, and I saw a Bible laying there, and I thought about King Solomon, who, as most people know, is recognized as the wisest and wealthiest man to have ever lived, and I thought, bingo. So I spent about a year studying King Solomon and wondering if his 3,000-year-old advice would be applicable in today's craziness with all the technology and finances that we go through, and I was literally amazed. I was set back on my heels at how applicable it was. It could have been written last week, and so thus was the genesis of The Solomon Secret.
Well, you know, when your book was first presented to me, I was so excited because one of my favorite books that I was told to read it by an economist. I used to bartend, and he used to come in, and I was an economics major at the time, and he used to tell me all these things, and he says, you know what, he says, it's great that I have this PhD in economics, but he says, this is all you need to know about money. And you know a book he told me to read?
What was that?
The Richest Man in Babylon.
Oh, certainly.
And
certainly.
That was such, because I like learning through fables and stories, and mm-hmm. so I was so excited about the Solomon Secret, and specifically so because I had just learned so much about him when I was reading The History of Money. And I had, you know, I paid more attention to the boys in Sunday school than I did to whatever I was supposed to be learning. I do remember one of the Beatitudes, though, is the meek shall inherit the earth. I remember that.
Well, but we all hope that was true.
Because I had this little cardboard fold-out, but that's all I really remember, unfortunately. But when I started working in some of the gospel churches, that's how I refined my keys, I found out that they're over, you know, they reference money more than they do Jesus or God himself in the Bible.
Mm-hmm. And I think it's because Jesus really understood that our relationship with money and possessions is a clear indication of both our spiritual condition, but also our, like I'll call our life condition. And what I mean by that is, money is critically important to all of us. Whether we feel like we are people who focus too much on it or not enough on it, it's important. We have to pay our rent or mortgage, we have to buy food, we have a car, we have lots of things, medical bills certainly. And, you know, it was Billy Graham who once said, if a person gets his attitude towards money straight, it'll help straighten out almost every other area of his or her life. And I think there's just tremendous wisdom in that. And I also think that Reverend Billy Graham took that from King Solomon. But we think about the importance of the relationship of money in our life. You know, it's the number one, financial problems are the number one cause of divorce in our country. It's also, I would suggest, the number one cause of stress, and stress, our medical community is now believing, is the number one cause of disease. So it's a big deal. And it's what I have found from traveling throughout the world is the people who really have a good attitude towards money and live by principles that, whether they know it or not, are thousands of years old, those people enjoy their lives more, and their relationships, and their work, and their kids, and just everything. So it's a very important task that we create a good attitude around money.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I think that what people misunderstand when they think about money and religion, and they think that there's a conflict, I think what people lose sight of is that money isn't evil. People can be evil and do evil things with money. If you're evil before you have money, you're going to be evil with it. But
absolutely.
I think people cross in religion thinking that, oh, well, in order to be godly, I have to be poor.
No, you know, the Bible doesn't say anything about that. And the misnomer that money is evil, you know, think about one of the wealthiest men in the world, Warren Buffett. At the time of his gift to the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, he had a net worth of somewhere around $39 billion. Hard number for most of us to comprehend. He gave $30 billion to the foundation because of the good work they're doing around the world. Bill Gates himself has made it very clear that before or on his death, some 98% of his wealth, and again, he's considered one of the wealthiest in the world, also will be going to the foundation. There are a lot of people, both wealthy and of meager means or average means, that give money to causes that really help to alleviate suffering around the world. I don't think that's a religious thing. I think that's a humanistic thing. Those of us who watch the news, you know, just can't help but be touched by, I hate to say it this way, but the misery both in our country and around the world, not just from the natural disasters that we've been experiencing of Haiti and Pakistan and floods and earthquakes, but just of our neighbors that sometimes we pass by without even taking enough notice of them. We have people in this country, in the United States, that go to bed hungry every night, that are homeless, that are losing their homes. You know, the list is long. So I think that, and as a matter of fact, I dedicate one of the seven chapters in the Solomon Secret specifically to giving money away and its effect on our wealth creation, which some people think is a conflict, and it's not. That they are joined together, and I would suggest inseparable.
Well, let's talk about, can we delve into the book
sure,
a little bit?
Sure, absolutely.
So, Abaddon, what kind of guy is he?
Abaddon is a character in the book. Let me back up by saying that in each chapter there are two sections. The first half of each chapter deals with Abaddon, who is a young man, we assume, and he's fictitious. We assume that he is 12, 13, 14 years old. His father was friends with King Solomon, and King Solomon promised to teach this friend's son, who is Abaddon, principles about life. And so the first half of every chapter is the king himself walking through the palace that he built and teaching Abaddon a specific principle of money management and how it interacts with, let's call, life management. And then the second half of each chapter, I bring that into current-day vernacular and current-day application to your life so that you can actually take that lesson, that parable, if you will, and right now apply it to your life, and then at the end of the chapter there are questions and some projects for each of us to do. And each of the seven chapters deals with one more way that we interact with money, from our attitudes towards earning it, to spending it, to saving it, to giving it, to investing it, and it just goes through all of the different ways we deal with it. But Abaddon is a young man who is ripe for learning. Which all
is he a guy that's friendly and comfortable we can relate to?
I beg your pardon?
Is he a friendly and comfortable guy that we
Yeah. Abaddon is a typical young adolescent who, like most young adolescents, at first thinks that they know everything. I know my son's 21, and when he was 13, he certainly thought he knew everything. But then he realizes the error of that way, and he also realizes that he is being taught by the person who is considered the wisest man on earth. We still consider him, as the writer of Proverbs, one of the wisest men that has ever been on earth. So yeah, Abaddon is young, but he's a lot like us. He thinks he knows what money is. He thinks he knows what good work ethic is, but then very rapidly in the book you realize, and he realizes, that there's so much more to learn, and that will make his life better.
One of the things that I had struggled with was that, of course, I thought I knew it all. And then the older I got, I realized I don't know enough. What point were you feeling like perhaps were you writing this for your son to help him because he knew it all?
No, I don't think I had the intent of writing it for my son, although he's read it and I know that he's learned quite a bit from it. I think I was writing it in part for myself to reevaluate my own attitudes towards money, and I realized that that story that I had gone through, which I share a lot of personal story in the book, is something that most people can relate to. You know, I think this recession, let me give you an example. I think that the recession that hopefully we're coming out of, but man, it's been painful for a lot of people, I think the recession was caused by ourselves. I think we are at fault for this recession, and I take a fair amount of pushback every time I say that, because people feel like, well, no, it was the banks, and it was Wall Street, and it was the big
institutions.
Right. Well, they didn't force us to put too much money on our credit cards. They didn't force us to sign for mortgages that we couldn't afford. They really, you know, they have, they're believing. I think that they have a lot of fault, and I don't think that the new financial reform has gone anywhere near far enough to clean that up. But we must take responsibility first before we're ever going to take control of our own financial situations. Because the reality is, and the bottom line is, debt is a choice. And some people feel like they're in debt and it's not a choice. Well, you know, it's a choice when we pull that credit card out. No one forces us to do that. And a credit card, you know, there's a phrase, I feel like I've dug myself a hole that's so deep I can't get out of. Well, picture that credit card in your hand and picture that credit card as a little shovel. And every time you go and get a cup of coffee, not a lot of money, $2, $3, $4, you just dug that hole a little deeper. And then you go out to lunch with a friend, you use your credit card, you just dug that hole a little deeper. You feel like very small purchases or very reasonable purchases, but it is the combination of all those little purchases that got you in the hole that you're in the first place. So the answer, yeah, go ahead.
Well, I mean, I just think of, you know, if I said, you know, oh, well, hi, I'm Starbucks or I'm Joe Local Coffee Shop, that'll be $20 for that espresso, please. You'd be like, hell no.
Right.
But that's what people are paying because they let that interest roll up.
Oh, certainly, certainly. I think that most people, when they use their card, they have a naive intention of paying it off at the end of the month. But I think that that's a very naive intention. My study is that less than 3% of credit card holders in the United States actually pay their balance in full. If you're one of those 3%, good for you. You're doing a great job. But let's now talk about the other 97% of us, and I'm one of them. The only answer, you know, everybody has a credit card, or two, or ten. It's just amazing how we've really gravitated to this credit card use economy.
The access made it so
simple. It's so simple. So with everybody having a credit card, and as a matter of fact, I don't have one, which I'll come back to in a moment, but with everybody having one, I spent a number of months talking with banks and credit card companies and individuals. I'm trying to figure out what is the great benefit of a credit card. And some people said, well, convenience or accounting or renting a car, I mean, or the bonus miles. I heard all kinds of stuff. But after I finished this analysis, I realized that the number one or really the only benefit of owning and using a credit card is that it allows us to purchase things that we cannot afford. Because if we could afford them, we would pay cash, or we would write a check, or we would use a debit card.
But cash is always convenient or safe to have on ourselves.
Well, that's true, but a debit card is just as convenient as a credit card. But a debit card, that money, that purchase, comes directly out of your checking account immediately. Now, if you don't have the money in your checking account to use that debit card, then you use the credit card. Thus, my belief that you use a credit card to purchase things that you can't afford. But if you don't have the cash available right now, then you can't afford it. But we are a group of people who have been conditioned to believe in this this attitude of, I want it, I deserve it, I want it now, and I'll worry about paying for it later. And I believe that is exactly what got us into this great recession.
Clearly, that is what did that. But I don't believe that credit cards are inherently bad. And unfortunately, the way the banks have it set up, when you make purchases on your debit card, you are not offered the same protection with regard to dealing with the merchant as you are with a credit card.
And
once that cash is gone, it's gone, and you don't have any recourse with a debit card as you do a credit card.
That's true, but let's go back to a statement you made just a moment ago. You said that you didn't believe there was anything inherently wrong with a credit card. I couldn't agree with you more. It's just a piece of plastic. There is nothing inherently wrong with a credit card. The way we use credit cards is the ill. That is the wrong. So the credit card isn't the fault. It's not the bank behind the credit card. It's not Visa or MasterCard or American Express that's at fault. It's that we have been conditioned to believe that it's okay to use credit cards when we don't have the money in the bank to pay off that credit card bill. You mentioned 20 or 30% interest. You know, if after this interview you were to go to a friend of yours and say, you know, could you loan me $30? I'm going to go out to lunch. I'm taking a friend out to lunch. And they would say, certainly, here's your $30. But I'm going to charge you 29% interest. I'm going to compound it on a daily basis. If you're late, I'm going to charge you a $30 fee, which means it's a 100% fee. You would look at them, and your friendship with that person probably wouldn't last much longer than that conversation. But we allow the credit card companies to do that to us on a daily basis. So all I'm saying is that
the keyword is there, allow.
Yeah,
it's all a choice.
You're right.
What's the answer then? Because if you are not going to trust people to self-govern, what's the answer?
Well, let me tell you what the answer was for my family. The answer was to actually get rid of all credit cards and to go to a cash or debit card system. Because what that did is it forced us, without any question, it forced us to live on a cash basis, meaning when we pull out our debit card, we have to know that we have the cash in the bank for whatever purchase. And if we don't, we have to delay that gratification. So, and it took about 6 months to really adjust our attitudes toward using debt. And this is just one symptom of the problem. But it was difficult for the first 6 months because there were times, because I as a writer, only have cash flow coming in quarterly from royalties, and there were times at the end of a quarter where possibly my wife wanted to purchase something or I wanted to purchase something and the cash wasn't there and we had to wait a week or two. Well, as Americans, we're not used to waiting a week or two. We want it now. So it was a fabulous lesson, and we've been doing this for years and years. I would suggest now that we have realigned our attitude towards debt, we could easily use a credit card, because mentally we would be keeping track of every dollar that we spend and we would pay it in full at the end of the month. But again, that's just one form of debt. Then there's mortgage debt, there's automobile debt, there's credit line debt. I'm using the credit card as the first line of teaching about debt management, and that's really the point of the credit card.
I have a question for you, because it sounds like we're cut from the same cloth. And for me, I'm writing a fiction book about money based on myself and my grandfather and my mother, who I always talk about on the show, and the not-so-fabulous financial principles that she taught me. And I found that, I was a teenager in the 80s, and so I graduated high school at 17, and that movie Wall Street came out. And I hadn't really, I didn't figure out much what I wanted to do. I wanted to be in broadcasting. I wanted to be a TV news anchor. But the where I had this internship, the weatherman said, well, you need to have an area of expertise. You can't just go, you can go to a tech school if you want to be a broadcaster. You need to have, like he says, I'm not just a weatherman, I'm a meteorologist. So he says, you've got to have a specialty. And so I figured, well, I like money, so let me pick economics. And I really enjoyed my high school economics teacher because he was a football coach, and all of us cheerleaders and football players paid to get in his class because Miss Cameron was evil. And I didn't want my graduation hanging in her balance after being the blood drive chairman for 3 years and having to steal seniors out of her class. She did not like me anyway. So I had to buy my way into another class, and I found that, I went and I had to drop out of college because my mother got sick and I had to take care of her because I was the oldest. And then I found out, well, you don't need a college degree to be a stockbroker. So I went out and I got sponsored and I got my 7 and I started working. And I'm making people that are millionaires millions, but I'm not taking my own advice. And I'm making assumptions about how they live. And I thought that they financed themselves, and I was making really good money. I mean, none of my friends had the money that I had because of what I was making. You know, as a trader in the late 80s and early 90s, you couldn't do anything wrong.
Right.
You could throw a dart and not even hit the board and still be okay.
That's right.
And so the money just ran through my fingers, and I had no idea. As I'm making these rich people more money, I never asked them how they managed their money, and I totally went through all my money. And the more I made, the more I spent. And I just, you know, I couldn't function. And it was my dysfunction that led me to personal finance management and a hunger and a desire to learn more and do more. Would you say that you had a similar experience, or were you always good at managing your money?
No, I would say that I had an identical experience. Your story is my story. I went through the ranks of Wall Street firms. I went very quickly to senior executive. I was managing hundreds and hundreds of millions of dollars, making a fortune, and I thought, if you have it, spend it. It sounds like you did the same thing. You know, we worked hard. We dealt with a lot of stress. We were doing well for other people, and we spent it. But here's the problem. First of all, I agree with that. If you have it and you want to spend it, spend it. But it sounds like what you and I did is we were so attractive to banks, they wanted to loan us everything. Mm-hmm. And so we went into debt. Not only did we spend our money, we went into debt. There's a quote that's right in line with everything we're talking about that says thousands upon thousands are yearly brought into a state of real poverty by their great anxiety not to be thought of as poor. And that happens
yes!
to people who are, you know, it happens to people making $25,000 a year, and it happens to people making $250,000 a year. It doesn't matter what your income is. If you are using debt to purchase things, you are trying to prove your wealth, and it's just, it doesn't work. And, you know, we're talking about King Solomon, obviously, the basis of my book. In Proverbs 13:7, King Solomon says, one man pretends to be rich, yet has nothing. Another pretends to be poor, yet has great wealth. You know, we've just gotten out of whack.
I would pretend and has nothing.
Right.
That was funny. And it's funny because I'm on the other side of the fence now, and now I try to not really flaunt it and show it and stuff like that.
I'm the same way. I think that we all have to go through that maturing process, and I think it's natural to go through a maturing process. But most of us are getting a little older now, and I'll tell you, this recession caused a speed up in our maturing. Because so many things crashed. I mean, I used to drive the Mercedes and the Lexus and the Land Rover, and now I drive an 11-year-old Jeep with 120,000 miles on it that runs perfect. It's the coolest little Jeep I've ever had, and I can't remember the last time I made a car payment. And I can
tell
you this.
Yeah, that's one of the things that I swear I would never do is invest in, is finance a depreciating asset.
Thank you. That's exactly right, and that's all a car is. But they led us to believe, if we watch the car commercials, that the car that we drive represents the type of person that we are. And how can we allow the advertisers to tell us the type of people that we are? We've allowed that as well. We have to stop listening to the advertisers as much as we do, because for the most part, they're doing their job, which is to help sell a product. And that's, if not our job, to purchase the product. So, you know, when I spent a year studying King Solomon, who just really set me straight on money, I realized I'll never make a car payment for the rest of my life. There are people that complain they can't make their mortgage payments. I understand that. Then sell your home and downsize. My sister is someone who's wrapped up in the home that she has, and she complains to me all the time that her mortgage is so high, and I tell her, Sue, sell your home and get something smaller. It'll still be beautiful. You'll still make it gorgeous and everything else, but you'll cut your expenses in half. She said, but I like large homes. And I said, well, then you need to pay the mortgage. You know, it's circular, these conversations. There are ways for us to fix our financial lives. And you having been with Wall Street firms and I having been the same thing, you know that we don't use the word guarantee lightly. We're actually scolded if we use the word guarantee.
Oh, it didn't even exist in my
vocabulary. Exactly.
I know.
Dave,
that wasn't a word I used unless that's
right.
Where I stored my money, a physical entity.
You bet. But I'm going to, right here now, I'm going to use the word guarantee. I am going to guarantee you that if you will read not only the Solomon Secret, but The Richest Man in Babylon, Walden by the great Thoreau is a phenomenal book. If you'll read this book and you will apply the principles and you'll really work hard as a family or an individual and apply the principles, I guarantee you it will make the quality of the entirety of your life better to a degree that you may not even be able to comprehend right now. Because when you do these things and you fix your financial life in total, you can take a deep breath and life is better, stress is gone, health is better, relationships are better, fun is more fun, because in the back of your mind you're not thinking, how am I going to pay for this?
So yeah.
It's that important. It really is that important. And I've had emails come in. I mean, the greatest gratification for a writer is to have emails from readers come in from all over the world, and I can almost feel the tears on the emails that say, I did it. And you're right, because now I enjoy life every minute of the day. I've gotten rid of the stress, and I have excess money to give away to things that really touch my heart. I mentioned earlier there's a chapter in the book about giving money, and I'll tell you that I put my own money where my mouth is. One-third of the worldwide royalties from the Solomon Secret are donated on a gross level before taxes. And the two charities that I chose, and everybody has their own favorites, I love World Vision out of Washington State, and I also love the Lance Armstrong Livestrong Foundation. I lost my mom, I lost my mom to cancer, to ovarian cancer. So here's my point. It just, when you give money away to a degree where you feel it, and believe me, I could have used that extra one-third, but that was the right number for me. It changes your attitude about money, and it helps you to make better decisions in every financial transaction that you do henceforth. So I don't just write about giving money away and how it makes you better as a financial manager. I do it. I do everything that's in that book my family does on a daily basis.
Well, and you know, this is my thought about money. And while it's great, and it's an incredible tool, and it will create the freedom for you to choose and pick and do everything you want, I have always felt that you can't take it with you. And my goal is to, when I get to the pearly gates, hopefully, that's where I'm in.
Right.
I hope I have more hashes in that column than in the back column. And when I get out there and I'm chatting with St. Peter, you know, there's two things that I want out of this lifetime. I want others to say that my word is my bond, just like that. And then I want to have the best stories to tell around the campfires when I get to heaven, because I figure that's all I'm going to be able to take with me. So I need to create as many incredible life experiences while I'm here. But the one thing that carries me through is that my word is my bond, and I'm thrilled and tickled that you made that such a point to not just preach it, but you're living it too. You know, I can't believe the time has flown. So
I know.
If people want to get your book or find out more about you, Bruce, what website can they go to?
Well, the book is available throughout the world in pretty much every bookstore. But my website is www.brucefleet.com. You can read about the book and decide if it's right for you, and you can also email me. If you read it and have a question, I answer 100% of my email.
Well, thank you so much for joining us, Bruce. You have been listening to Heather Wagenhall's Unlock Your Wealth Radio. We will be right back with more after this.
Hey, this is Coco Brown from the hit radio show, The Truth with Coco Brown, on HollywoodOutlaws.com radio. And you're listening to me on Heather Wagenhall's Unlock Your Wealth Radio.
Hi, it's Michael over here from the Continental Coaching. You know, one thing I've learned over the years is that the most successful people in life have coaches to guide them along their chosen path. Naturally, Wayne Gretzky, Michael Jordan, Tony Stewart, Tom Hopkins, and Robert Kiyosaki all have coaches. Whether it was their father, someone else's father, or another person who helped them to change their desires into an achievable path to success with a system of accountability where quitting was the only way to go. Each of these people has someone who didn't see them as their first word, but as a person in time. they knew they could easily become, truly, financial coaches to be the single vision you need to become financially independent. Call the Unlock Your Wealth Foundation now for your free consultation, 1-866-966-9420. That's our free number again, 1-866-966-9420, or simply visit us on the web at www.unlockyourwealth.com.
Like, has your cell phone or iPod ever totally run out of battery before? Maybe you're somewhere without power, like fishing, camping, or the beach. Now you can have all the power you need. The K3 Charger by Continuous Industries uses wind and sun to charge your devices anytime, day or night. Use the wind and sun to store up charging power, or charge your device right on the spot. Available now for $99.95 at www.kinesisindustries.com. That's Kinesis, K-I-N-E-S-I-S, industries.com. Like, go there totally!
Even in today's economy, I, Count Dracula, have had to foreclose on my castle. But because of Heather Wagenhall's Unlock Your Wealth Radio, I have not only reacquired my castle, but I have opened a resort for the undead. Tune in to Heather Wagenhall's Unlock Your Wealth Radio. She's the only one not trying to suck you dry.
Welcome back to the broadcast, everyone. You are listening to Heather Wagenhall's Unlock Your Wealth Radio. Did you guys happen to catch one of our episodes this week? We had a really great episode on Wednesday for our midweek update. Our focus was save it or chuck it. What financial paperwork do we need to keep and for how long? And we also have a featured strategy on that. If you haven't downloaded it from the website, visit www.unlockyourwealth.com for your save it or chuck it checklist. It's kind of funny. It rhymes a little bit. Sort of kind of. Anyway, grab your save it or chuck it checklist from unlockyourwealth.com. And you can figure out what it is that you need, and most importantly, what you can get rid of. They don't want to be pack rats. They don't want to become like those people on that TV show, the hoarders. Oh, my gosh, that just freaks me out watching those shows. But, you know, it's like people are drawn to catastrophe. We just kind of have to watch. You know, we can't. It's like, oh, it's burning my eyes, but we keep looking into the sun anyway. It's just a weird deal. So maybe you can lighten some of your pack rat load when it comes to your financial paperwork. So if you haven't listened to the episode, make sure that you go and download that at unlockyourwealth.com and also grab that checklist from our featured strategies so you can take a look at that and go through that paperwork. I know that that's what I've been doing because it's review, revise, and recommit. Whenever I do the key, I always make sure that I do that for my key action item, which we'll get into in a little bit. Also, I don't know if you've been listening to our Tuesday show, but it's gaining quite a bit of popularity, and I'm pretty excited about it. It's just a 15-minute segment, our Millionaire Nuts and Bolts from Unlock Your Wealth Radio. Just like we do our Millionaire Minute on the show, we do an expanded version of that with step-by-step strategies on how you can incorporate these thought patterns, ideas, and processes that other millionaires have so you can start your day the millionaire way. And this week's focus was on the forgiveness strategy. Our Millionaire Mind focus was from our key last week, which we talked about forgiveness, and we went through a little bit of it on the show with Coco, but I felt like it needed more attention, so I moved it also to this week's Millionaire Nuts and Bolts. So our Millionaire Focus strategy for this week is our forgiveness, our four-step forgiveness strategy. and I'm telling you, it's good stuff. So if you missed it, unlockyourwealth.com, go back and download it, and start applying these things. You know, it's funny because you get people that are skeptical, and they'll say, why would I do that? Why would I even bother? But the reason why you would bother is, what have you got to lose? If you're not happy with where you are currently, and somebody who has been there, done that, and succeeded, and has figured out a way, why wouldn't you try it? Clearly, you have nothing to lose except the debt, the anguish, and the lack of savings. So give it a whirl. Go ahead and be skeptical, but you've got nothing to lose except the unwanted debt and the lack of savings. So you might as well try it. It'll create a level of fulfillment in your life that you don't presently have. And somebody who has tried to do something different because what she's been doing isn't working is our ever-popular Unlock Your Wealth protege, Coco Brown. And let's check in with Coco to see how she did. She worked the forgiveness strategy last week on air for those of you that were paying attention and tuned into the broadcast. If not, again, go back and download it. We do live financial coaching on the air this season, and our coaching client is none other than the illustrious, ever-popular, effervescent, and super funny, hilarious, Coco Brown. And Coco has done an amazing job with what she has accomplished over the last 10 weeks, or 11 weeks, I should say, in our financial coaching. And I've patted her on the back, but I haven't made a big deal of it because I want to keep her nose to the grindstone. So why don't we check in with Coco and see what's going on. Welcome back to the broadcast, Coco. How are you?
I'm great. I'm great. How are you, Heather?
Oh, I'm just doing wonderful. Thanks so much. Yes, two more keys left.
I know. This has gone so fast, but you know, it has been so helpful.
Oh, well, I'm so glad you feel that way. Well,
absolutely.
As we've been talking in this week's key with practicing the three R's, we are going to find out, after we practice them today, how well things are working for us. So,
okay.
Are you excited, nervous about seeing where we are now?
Anxious. How about that?
Anxious.
That's a good word. Yeah.
Good. Well, I'm anxious, too, to see how all of these principles that we've learned and you've been incorporating into your everyday life has been playing out. Last week we forgave ourselves and we learned our forgiveness pattern to let go when we make mistakes and not hold on to resentment or anger because that can be debilitating or destructive and keep us from getting back on track. Because financial independence is so long-term and it's kind of just out there, we need to make sure that we're moving closer to our goals and not further away from them. And with this week's key, as we were talking before this, you joined us, that as we have our roadmap, which is all of the goals that we set, and we knew where we were when we started, when we did our assessment and created our savings and spending plan, now we need to check in to see what mile marker we're at along this trip.
Mm-hmm.
And do we have to refuel? Did we have a flat tire? Do we need to fix something? Do we need to do an oil change and tune up? Where are we in relationship to where we started? Like how far have we come? And how close are we to our goals? And what has changed, if anything? And this review, revise, and recommit for you is going to be the same for now, but come October 10th and our next quarterly review, revise, and recommit, we're going to have another person in our financial picture. So you're going to have to make adjustments. and you are on a tremendous path. And my wish for you is that when it comes time to analyze together what your financial situation is together for the first time, that you take all of these technologies that you've learned along the way and all these strategies for financial success and incorporate this next phase where the two of you are now planning together, and it's not just your budget and his budget and your finances and his finances, it'll be ours, and we need to learn how, okay, we have this coming in from all of these directions, and we have this going out in all of these directions, and that we are able to adjust, because that's the key part of review, revise, and recommit. It's not just see where we were from the last checkup, see where we are now, see how close we are to our goals, but the what's changed key, because that portion is where we make our revisions. So revisions are going to be, I'm single and now I'm going to be married. Revisions can be, I have to take on the care of an indigent parent. I am expecting a child. I have to take care of a sibling that can't care for themselves. All kinds of things. New job, different job, extra income stream, loss of an income stream. All those things that affect our goals and our objectives are going to have to change what we do every day in our savings and spending plan in order to still meet those goals. Now, maybe some of those goals have changed, because now that your goal to get married is gone, or will be coming up in a few weeks, now you're going to have other goals. That one's been achieved, so you'll have new goals to add into the mix, and those may or may not affect how you save and spend. And the reason why so many diets don't work is because they're not flexible. They help you lose the weight, but they don't help you maintain the weight after it's been lost. Once you plateau in a weight loss program, you have to change things up to keep your body responding. And just like a healthy exercise and eating plan, we must augment and alter our savings and spending plan according to our changing needs. So that's the toughest thing for folks, is they abandon their savings and spending plans when they don't work anymore. And it's not that the savings and spending plans aren't working anymore. It's that the goals have changed and that the savings and spending plan needs to be revised to meet these new goals. And that's where people make mistakes and they fall off the wagon and won't get back on. And so the value of this week's key is to get back in the saddle and make the changes that are necessary. And the third component of this week's key is vitally important too, because we must recommit to those long-term goals. It's so easy to forget about what's down the road because of the urgent pressing matters of the moment. But like Stephen Covey talks about in his 7 Habits of Highly Effective People, when you are working in quadrant 2, which is important but not urgent, that's where all the goodness of life happens. But what happens is we move out of that to quadrant 1, where things are not important but they're urgent, and we become firefighters. And while that firefighting exhilaration can support adrenaline, and if you're an adrenaline junkie, it could make you feel like you're thriving because you're rising to the occasion.
Right.
And you're able to solve all these challenges, but we have to remember that while we have day-to-day challenges, we cannot abandon those long-term goals and objectives, and we must stay focused on that. So in this third segment of our review, revise, and recommit, we need to be focused on recommitting ourselves to our long-term financial success and our immediate short and mid-term goals as well. We have to take a step back because we forget what they are when we're firefighting, right? When we first started talking today, what were you doing? Last-minute wedding stuff, getting all of these things straightened out, dealing with personalities. I know you mentioned that a couple weeks ago.
Right, exactly.
So I'm guessing that 40 years from now in retirement is probably not your highest priority when you've got personalities and egos that you're addressing. Am I right or wrong? So,
yes.
So that's the value, that at least quarterly we're recommitting. Because sometimes we lose track of stuff. Sometimes I forget to do my affirmations in the morning, and I know I should be doing them first thing. But if I don't remember, or I get, you know, flung out of bed because of something, dogs barking, knocking at the door, phone ringing, whatever, knocks me out of my pattern, and I forget to do them, you know, one time, starts another time, and they're, you know, not doing something is a habit just like doing something. So if we want to retrain, you know, we say, well, I'm not in the habit of exercise. So what that means is I'm in the habit of not exercising. And so we can lose sight of our goals real quick when we get mired in the minutia of the moment. And we're busy building mountains out of molehills for today. So that's why quarterly we look at, we pull out that Dreams with Deadlines worksheet. And we look at our strategy for financial independence and where we want to be in the next 20 years. And we remind ourselves and we get back into that moment where we were when we set our goals. And we salivate and we channel up that desire and that excitement and enthusiasm for what our lives are going to be like in 20 years. So we stay excited about the value of every day, why you stick to your savings and spending plan, because it's for those long-term goals. And I know you're going, long-term is till October 10th. I can't think until after October 10th. So, go ahead.
I was agreeing with you. I said, tell me about it.
Yeah. So I know to ask of you anything significant or long-term right now is probably not going to happen. Let's pause for just a minute, and we're going to take a real quick break. And when we get back, let's talk about what you're looking to find in today's Review, Revise, and Recommit. You're listening to Coco Brown on Heather Wagenhall's Unlock Your Wealth Radio. We'll be right back with more after this.
Hey, this is Coco Brown from the hit radio show, The Truth with Coco Brown, on HollywoodOutlaws.com radio. And you're listening to me on Heather Wagenhall's Unlock Your Wealth Radio.
Hi, it's Marty over here from the Top Run Silver Fan. You know, one thing I've learned over the years is that the most successful people in life have coaches to guide them along their chosen path. Naturally, Wayne Gretzky, Michael Jordan, Tony Stewart, Tom Hoffman, and Robert Kiyosaki all have coaches. Whether it was their father, someone else's father, or another person who helped them to shape their desires and their achievable path to success with a system of accountability where quitting was the only way to go. Each of these people had someone who didn't see them as they first were, but as the person inside. They knew they could easily become true. Why not the coaches to do the single mission you need to become financially independent? Call the Unlock Your Wealth Foundation now for your free consultation. 1-866-966-9420. That toll-free number again is 1-866-966-9420, or you can visit us on the web at www.unlockyourwealth.com.
Like, has your cell phone or iPod ever totally run out of battery before? Maybe you're somewhere without power, like fishing, camping, or the beach. Now you can have all the power you need. A K3 charger by Invisus Industries uses vivid sun to charge your devices anytime, day or night. Use the wind and sun to store up charging power, or charge your device right on the spot. Available now for $99.95 at www.kinesisindustries.com. That's Kinesis, K-I-N-E-S-I-S, Industries.com. Like, go there, totally!
Even in today's economy, I, Count Dracula, have had to foreclose on my castle. But because of Heather Wagonhall's Unlock Your Wealth Radio, I have not only reacquired my castle, but I have opened a resort for the undead. Tune in to Heather Wagonhall's Unlock Your Wealth Radio. She's the only one not trying to suck you dry.
Are you a referral partner of the Unlock Your Wealth radio program? Would you like to promote your products and your services on our show? Learn about the benefits that our featured advertisers receive being part of an exclusive program where the listeners are seeking financial independence and are in need of your insurance, finance, real estate, and investment services. Call now at 1-866-966-9420. 1-866-966-9420. Reach the people who need your help the most with the Unlock Your Wealth radio show today.
I am Tony Stewart of the number 14 Office Depot Old Spice Chevrolet, and you're listening to Heather Wagonhall on Unlock Your Wealth Radio.
Welcome back to the broadcast, everyone. You are listening to Coco Brown on Heather Wagonhall's Unlock Your Wealth Radio. And we are practicing our three R's today. No, they are not reading, writing, and arithmetic. Those three R's would just happen to be review, revise, and recommit. As you sit down to do your review, revise, and recommit, what are you hoping to find? Since we started, what are you hoping to find? In terms of where we started, where our assessment envelope led us. So we found out we were spending on all of these things, and we created our savings and spending plan to get in line with our goals, both short and long term. And so what we're going to do is look at where we were 3 months ago financially, how much money we had in savings, how much credit we had, how much credit we spent, where our finances were, and now it's been 3 months since we have put our savings and spending plan together. So now that you've been on the wagon so far, putting yourself first, paying yourself first, working on your debt reduction strategies, and creating a healthy savings plan for you for the future. So we're on our way. So what are you hoping to find?
I'm hoping to find a way that I can, you know, better manage my money and have something in the bank at all times, and it not be hard. It be like second nature.
Mm-hmm.
That is my goal. But it's second nature to take care of money and the responsibilities, and it's second nature. It's not something that I have to put effort into. It's just second nature.
Mm-hmm. Great. So since you created your savings and spending plan, even though you had the wedding, have you been able to start setting some money aside, even if it's a dollar?
Actually, yeah. I mean, I set it up now that automatically every week $25 goes directly into my ING direct account. That's money I don't even see. It goes into that account. It just goes. So I'm starting with that, and hopefully it'll be able to be a much bigger amount once I get, you know, a lot of these, you know, credit cards paid off. I'm actually proud of myself because now I just have my student loans coming out directly. I don't have to worry about that anymore. It's just coming out directly.
Great.
And, you know, just getting a lot of that taken care of.
That's great. That's Those are big strides in just a short period of time. So if you're doing $25 a week, by the next time in 12 weeks when we do your review, revise, and recommit again, that means you should have $300.
Right.
And then that $300 will be $600 in the next 12 weeks. And it's just going to grow. And then on top of that, your interest is going to start to accumulate every day. So you'll get your money working for you. And you'll start creating money momentum. And that's so fantastic. Well, I'm excited to see how this review, revise, and recommit, when you start crunching the numbers and seeing exactly how much you were able to save, how much debt you were able to reduce, and how many things you were able to get on track. And for the next 3 months, you can recommit to all of these things, because one of the greatest things is the wedding expense, all of that stuff, all that nonsense will be over. On the last minute, got to write a check for this. Oh, I need another deposit for that. This guy wants more money for this. So all that will be over. And then you can just really get into overdrive on things and really get some momentum going. And since you took the time to spend all that money in advance on all of your business travel, that's another concern that you don't have to worry about. So that should give you some more money momentum. And the next review, revise, and recommit in 3 months is probably going to knock your socks off. This first one was more organizational, and the fact that you took the time to get all of that stuff on track, and you've got automatic savings, and you've got automatic bill pay put in place, you, I think, are going to be surprised over the next 3 months how things change. So we'll have to, you know, we'll be done with our coaching at that point, so we'll have to have you call in and check in with us next season and let us know how the next review, revise, and recommit went. So I'm excited.
Okay.
I'm excited about this process. So we just have one more key to go. So how are you feeling about all of this?
I feel good. I feel good. I feel good. I definitely have seen the, you know, just the progress and the things change. And I'm just like, wow, this is like really working.
And it's not hard at all. And I think the incremental introduction of all of these concepts allows you to make it second nature for yourself. Because you're not trying to do radical changes all at once. It's just little by little you make small shifts. And before you know it, you're on autopilot. You're second nature. This is something that's coming so easy for you. Well, I'm so excited that things are going so well for you, and we're getting so close to the wedding, and we have just one more key left, become a voracious reader. So let's finish up this week's strategy coming up in just a moment. You are listening to Coco Brown, our Unlock Your Wealth protege, on Heather Wagenhall's Unlock Your Wealth Radio. We will be right back with our nuts and bolts for this week's key coming up right after this.
Hi, this is Scott Black with EmpowerYou.net. You're listening to Heather Wagenhalls on Unlock Your Wealth Radio.
Hi, it's Marty Logan here from the Confidence Coaching Academy. You know, one thing I've learned over the years is that the most successful people in life have coaches to guide them along their chosen path. Naturally, Wayne Gretzky, Michael Jordan, Tony Stewart, Tom Hopkins, and Robert Kiyosaki all had coaches. Whether it was their father, someone else's father, or another person who helped them to shape their desires into an achievable path to success with a system of accountability where quitting was the only way to go. Each of these people had someone who didn't see them as their first word, but as a person inside. They knew they could easily become gurus. Financial coaches should be the single vision you need to become financially independent. Call the Unlock Your Wealth Foundation now for your free consultation. 1-866-966-9420. That phone free number again is 1-866-966-9420. Or simply visit us on the web at www.unlockyourwealth.com.
Like, has your cell phone or iPod ever totally run out of battery before? Maybe you're somewhere without power, like fishing, camping, or the beach. Now you can have all the power you need. The K3 Charger by Conceive Industries uses wind and sun to charge your devices anytime, day or night. Use the wind and sun to store up charging power or charge your device right on the spot. Available now for $99.95 at www.kinesisindustries.com. That's Kinesis, K-I-N-E-S-I-S, industries.com. Like, go there totally!
Even in today's economy, I, Count Dracula, have had to foreclose on my castle. But because of Heather Wagonhall's Unlock Your Wealth Radio, I have not only reacquired my castle, but I have opened a resort for the undead. Tune in to Heather Wagonhall's Unlock Your Wealth Radio. She's the only one not trying to suck you dry.
Welcome back to the broadcast, everyone. You are listening to Heather Wagonhall's Unlock Your Wealth Radio. And we are in our second to the last week. Can't believe it. We're ready to practice the three R's: review, revise, and recommit. Thank you so much for joining us on today's broadcast. And for those of you who are joining us for the first time, welcome to the show. And simply put, the keys to riches is a baker's dozen of financial concepts that not only teach you how to think like the rich and be in control of your own money, but it also gives you specific techniques to create or fix your credit, reduce debt, save and invest, building wealth through real estate, all while transforming your current financial habits into healthy money management skills. And to specifically apply the keys and practice our three R's, we are going to need a few things to get started. We've talked about what the three R's mean, but how specifically do I implement those? Well, what you need to do, for those of you that have been with us this whole season, pat yourself on the back because you're almost done. So great. And for those of you who are just joining us, you'll have to download our previous broadcasts at our website, www.unlockyourwealth.com, so you can get up to speed. We also have video vignettes that you can use as a tutorial to introduce you to the keys up until this point. All you have to do is surf over to unlockyourwealth.com and sign up. The key membership is the free membership, and you'll have access to all of these great tutorials, videos, previous broadcasts, articles, electronic magazines. It's so cool what we've put together for you. And what you'll need to do is get ramped up, for those of you, again, for joining us for the first time, you'll need to get ramped up on where you need to be so you'll know what I'm talking about. But suffice it to say, those of you that have been around, you need to pull out your original assessment or your where I'm at outlook, and then you need to pull out your dreams with deadlines strategy, and you also need to pull out your savings and spending plan. Because we have where I'm at, where I'm going, and then we're going to find out today what is the difference. So what we want to do today is take what we've been doing on our savings and spending plan for the last 3 months, and because this is our first review, revise, and recommit, we're starting with our original assessment. As we move forward and we do subsequent review, revise, and recommits each quarter, you'll pull your last or most recent, what's the difference? And that's going to be your cash flow statement. That's what we're going to calculate today. And I'm going to show you how to do that. You're going to take them, and each month, the cash flow should be growing, and the debt should be reducing itself. And what we're going to do every 3 months is we're going to do another where I'm at assessment. And that's going to be our net worth statement. We started through our original assessment. For those of you joining us for the first time, we did an organic assessment. We collected receipts for 6 weeks. We've got to get 2 pay periods minimum because we spend differently at the beginning of the pay period versus the end. And we wanted to go through a beginning of the month and end of the month because we spend differently at the beginning of the month versus the end of the month based on the way bills are due, rent, mortgages, etc. So we wanted to get an organic assessment. So we wanted to see how we live. And we needed to save our receipts, and we needed to write out receipts when we didn't get receipts issued to us. So if we gave the kids allowance, we wrote that down. If we loaned our friends $5, we wrote that down. If we went to the vending machine, we wrote that down. All those little things that we pay cash for that we may not be issued a receipt, we needed to keep track of that because when we watch our pennies, the dollars take care of themselves. And what we need to do is see where everything is going because that's where we bleed out. We hemorrhage through those undocumented cash purchases, and it just filters out of our fingers faster than we know what to do with it. And as a result, that's where we can start to recoup some of that monthly blood loss, or cash flow loss, if you will. So we did our original assessment, and we wrote down everything we owe, everything we have coming in, and everything we have as an asset, and we calculated what our net worth was. Some of us have a negative number. That's okay to start out, because the idea is we're going to turn it around. Some of you have a positive number. Some of you have break even, your zero. What you have and what you owe cancels each other out. That's great. It's your starting point. The idea behind me saying that's great is because it doesn't matter where we are when we start. The fact that we started and we have taken action to change is what's important. This is our forget the perfection principle key. Yeah, we made mistakes. Yeah, we ran up a ton of debt. Yeah, we didn't have a way to pay for it. We just kind of flew by the seat of our pants. But guess what? That's all over now. We're done with that. We're moving forward. Now what we're going to do with this review, revise, and recommit is to see how far forward we have come. So what we're going to do is create another one of these balance sheets with what we have spent the last 3 months. Each month we should have a what's the difference worksheet, which is our statement of cash flows. What comes in, what goes out, and what's left over after debt service, after all of that stuff. But our where I'm at assessment page is very important because we're looking at changes in a few different areas. Hopefully our income has increased, but that aside, what we want to look at is that our asset pile has gone up and our debt pile has gone down. The only way to reverse a negative net worth is to reduce and eliminate what we owe to others. It's the only way. And once we eliminate what we owe to others, as we accumulate our assets, every day is another opportunity to save and invest. And what do we know about millionaires from our Millionaire Nuts and Bolts show? millionaires look forward to saving and investing, where impoverished people look forward to spending all that they have. And what millionaires know is when we look forward to saving and investing, we can spend the rewards of that investment and never touch what we have saved and invested. And we can just live off the income it generates passively. So that's our goal, is to reduce our frivolous debt, eliminate all of the credit cards and car payments and the garbage that are just extra. We don't need to finance our meals. We don't need to finance our Ferragamo shoes, our Louis Vuitton handbags. If you cannot pay cash for it without affecting the rest of your savings and spending plan, you just don't need it. Bottom line, I don't care how much you feel like you deserve it or all your friends have it. Where are your friends going to be in 20 years? Are they going to be able to make a mortgage payment with that Louis Vuitton handbag? Can you go down to the car dealer and trade in those Ferragamo shoes for your car payment this month? But, sir, they're $600 shoes. Yes, but you owe $600 in cash for this car payment. So the goal is to reduce our debt on our income-producing assets so they're cash-flowing, and we want to eliminate all that frivolous garbage debt. We're not going to finance another food frenzy. You're not going to go to the bar and put the tab that you bought everybody four rounds in your credit card and then expect to make minimum payments on it. We're done doing that. We've come so far. We've worked hard to repattern ourselves for success. So now that all that's behind us, we just need to eliminate all of that frivolous debt. So when we look at our where I'm at assessment, and we're going to compare it to the first assessment we did, we should see a drop in debt and an increase in our savings and investments. A drop in debt and an increase in assets. That's what we're looking for. Now, remember, forget the perfection principle. Let it go. If it's only a dollar, pat yourself on the back. I'm serious. Because interest accumulates so fast that it's tough. But if you have reduced your debt by a minimum of $1 and increased your savings by a minimum of $1, there you go. You're on your way. You made a difference. Allow yourself to revel in that. Enjoy that. Now, again, is it as far ahead as you want it to be? Maybe, maybe not. Maybe your goal was to reduce your debt by $50 and increase your savings by $100. Did it happen? No. Is that okay? Yes. It's so vitally important that we focus on the progress of the process. That's what I keep trying to drive home, and that's why we have the Forget the Perfection Principle key. We fall off the wagon. Sometimes we make mistakes. Sometimes, I know this will surprise you, but life happens to us. Somebody cut in front of me when I was driving and tore my front bumper off, and the radiator went with it. And I had to spend $200 to get a new radiator. Well, if that's what's happened, then you're probably going to be set back a little bit. If you were able to pay cash for that, and that's why you only have a couple of dollars saved or a couple of dollars on your debt reduced, but you spent cash out of your emergency fund to pay for that repair, you are way ahead of the game because you did not allow that negative occurrence to rack up more debt. So the reason why you might only have a small difference is because you were so positive and proactive and interrupted a terribly negative pattern that you've been doing your whole entire life, and you were actually able to get ahead. So maybe it's only a dollar saved or a dollar reduced on your debt, but over the last 3 months you had a catastrophic event happen to you, and that's okay, because what is important here is the progress on the process. That's a major milestone if you were able to pay cash for a repair. A major milestone, especially if your first inclination is to reach for that credit card and pay it with it. So it's huge. So maybe you're not seeing a windfall in the numbers. But if you review the last 3 months and what occurred since you made that last where I'm at assessment, you've come so far. Be happy. Rejoice in that. It's a monumental event. It's so awesome. And again, progress on the process. Now, after we review and see what's happened, what changed, what didn't change, then we need to take a look at our dreams with deadlines, which is our where I'm going strategy. This is what we plan for our long, mid, and short-term goals. Now, if our review says we didn't meet those goals, because we had this little catastrophic event, but nothing else has changed, then we just need to stay the course until we hit that first short-term goal. So if it was to have $50 of debt reduced and $20 in savings, then, and we didn't hit that, okay, so we're going to hunker down for the next 3 months, and that's going to be our goal, is to get that part done. In spite of anything that happens to us or around us. Self-sanitize notwithstanding, because that's a whole separate issue. But anything that happens to us or around us, we're able to handle as deftly as we just did with this catastrophic event of having to replace the radiator and the front bumper. And we did it by paying cash. That's huge. Major accomplishment. So great. So we stay the course. We don't need to revise. But let's say, for the sake of our example in the meantime, we've done our review, we didn't hit our goal, but things have changed. We are now financially responsible for another person. Maybe one of our parents got sick, had a stroke, can't care for themselves, and for the next 6 months, you're going to have to take care of that person. Or let's say we get pregnant. Or let's say one of our children are sick, and we're going to have an interruption in our income stream. What happens then? Well, our short-term goals are going to need to be revised. What we're doing presently will not work given the new information. We cannot stay the course with this new information. We must make revisions. That's why this key is so valuable, because of what it brings to you. Like we were chatting a moment ago with Coco, diets stop working after a certain point. What gets you there isn't going to be what keeps you there. Same thing is true about money. What gets you there isn't going to be what keeps you there. And that's where we need to revise our strategy. So the second portion of this is revision. We must focus now on what changes we need to make and for how long. Is this a short-term event? While my mother or father is in rehab for their stroke, I'll have to take care of them for the next 4 months or 5 months. So what does that mean? That means your utilities are going to go up because you've got another human being consuming electricity and water and TV and all of that stuff. Also, your food bill is going to go up. Now you need to take into account, am I going to get a financial contribution to offset these expenses from this person? If yes, great. New income stream temporarily. If not, uh-oh, we need to revise. And yes, this is a short-term revision. I'm having a baby. Whoops, that's a long-term revision. That's an 18-year commitment there, at minimum, assuming they don't come back after you kick them out and send them to college. So you need to sit and look at what your dreams with deadlines are going to be and see where you're going. And if this new information changes significantly where you're going, and is it for the short or long term, and how do I rearrange my savings and spending plan to keep me on my road for my long-term goals while adjusting these short-term goals or mid-term goals, depending on how long the commitment is. And that's the value of what we do with our savings and spending plan. That's the beauty of this key. Now, the third part is real simple. Recommit. Financial independence is so intangible in the physical sense. Like you could walk over and touch your pile of money if you wanted to. But financial independence is more figurative. It's more abstract. It's not so concrete. But you could, if you wanted to, have the bank set out your big pile of money on the counter so you could touch it and see it and feel it and smell it. But financial independence is where you have more coming in than you have going out, and you are able to live off of what is coming in without touching your assets. And that might not be today or tomorrow when we get there, because maybe we have some debt to reduce, or maybe we have some challenges with our current income streams as we're trying to develop other sources of income. So we must recommit ourselves. We must adjust that dreams of deadlines and figure out where I'm going and what's changing. But remember, the long-term goals are still there. The ones that are more than 20 years out, those are still there. What's going on now for the next 6 months, 9 months, a year, 2 years, should not deter you from your long-term goals. They should still propel you. That's the point and purpose of the revision. So now we must recommit ourselves to those goals, create that same sensory experience, get excited again about that house with the white picket fence and the rolling grass and trees and the, you know, spouse with the, you know, 2.5 children and the dog and the two cars or whatever your goals are. Visualize those again. Create that sensory imagery. That awareness, that salivating, gotta have it so fired up that it reignites the fire that might have been dampened or extinguished because circumstances beyond your control have interrupted your game plan. And reconnect to it. That's all we have to do. That's how this works. It's so fabulous. My favorite, my second favorite F word. Free is my favorite F word. But fabulous is even better. And we want to create that same mystique and aura that we did when we did our Dreams with Deadlines originally. And when we created the life that we desired and must have for ourselves. And that is your three R's. That's what will take you to where you need to go. That recommitment to action. That hunkering down. And this is the key that makes it all work over time. And a quarterly review is just like what businesses do. They do a financial quarterly review. And because we've taken emotion out of the picture and we're operating like a business, we're running our finances like a business, this is what we want to do to perpetuate our financial lives. And incrementally, we will accomplish our goals systematically over time. And just like businesses do a quarterly review, they also revise, if necessary, due to market conditions or whatever new information is there. You must make those revisions. Because what you're doing ain't going to work if information has changed. If nothing's changed, great. Recommit to the same plan you had, but if you have new information, you must incorporate it and revise your plan as necessary to ensure long-term financial success and to ensure your ability to accomplish it, those dreams with deadlines in a timely fashion. So that's simple. So, what next? Well, it's time for our nuts and bolts for this week's key. So grab your pencils, and our key statement for this week is, I know that while I created a very strong and healthy savings and spending plan, life happens to us and around us. And that new information must be included in my current savings and spending plan so I may make the revisions necessary to ensure my financial success. This week's affirmation is, I am great at reviewing, revising, and recommitting to my financial goals. I am great at reviewing, revising, and recommitting to my financial goals. Now, for those of you who are joining us for the first time, we do our affirmations several times throughout the day to help convince ourselves these goals are worthy of us and our time. So the first time we say our affirmations is at night, right before we go to bed. We want to pull out our affirmation sheet and say out loud to ourselves and to the universe what it is that we intend to have. And what that does is that focuses our subconscious mind on what it is we would like in our lives, our desires, and then all night while we're getting restful, restorative sleep, our brains create new neural pathways to make it so. And then the next time we say our affirmations is when we wake up in the morning And we take and do those affirmations first. No, we don't roll over, kiss the spouse. No, we don't let the dog out. First, we grab our affirmations, we pull them out, and we say them again out loud to ourselves and to the universe what our higher purpose of the day is, to focus our conscious mind on bringing what it is we truly desire into fruition. Because what we think about, we bring about. And we must focus constantly on our higher purpose. It's not, okay, I have to do the dishes, mow the lawn, take the kids to school, make lunch for me and the husband, pick up the dry cleaning, get little Susie and Johnny off to their sporting events, and blah, blah, blah. That is not your higher purpose. Your higher purpose is to create financial freedom for you and your family so you can choose to live the life you want to live when you want to live it. And then the next time we say our affirmations is any time throughout the day that we encounter negativity, we want to make sure that we shake it off. Do not let anybody rain on your parade. And trust me, people will, especially when they find out that you are ambitious or desirous of something new and grander, and they're not willing to work as hard, so they're going to try to take you off your game, but you're not going to let that happen. No, you are going to reach for that affirmation sheet after this negative encounter. And you are going to refocus your brain on what it is you truly desire in life and not focus on that negativity any longer after that negative occurrence has happened. Because, again, what we think about, we bring about. And we want to focus on what we do desire in life and truly want to have happen for us and our families. And that will create what it is that we want in our life sooner rather than later. And our key action item for this week is to sit down with your spouse, significant other, or me, myself, and I, as I like to put it, my meeting at 3, and grab your last assessment sheet if you have done this for a second season or more, or your original assessment sheet, grab your savings and spending plan, and your dreams with deadlines, and review them all. See if they are still valid and augment where necessary, and then create some affirmations and recommit to your goals. This is truly what you need to be successful. I want to thank today's guest, Ms. Coco Brown, for joining us, and Bruce Fleet for popping by. I want to also share with you that I am dedicating this episode to the life of my dear friend, Courtney Ann Denton, who's no longer with us. And I'm off to a celebration of life event for her. So I want to thank you all for joining us, and I want to dedicate this to Courtney. And to all of you who are almost through with this season of Keys, you've been listening to Heather Wagenhall's Unlock Your Wealth Radio. Grab this week's key strategies at www.unlockyourwealth.com. I'm Heather Wagenhall, wishing you a wonderful weekend. Here's to your financial wealth. Finally, financial freedom can be yours.